Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So let me start by saying that I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It is always one of my favorite times of year and always kind of comes near the end of the football season. Weird this year that it's not exactly the end of the football season. I still probably haven't quite fully wrapped my mind around all of that. But typically, we think of this holiday time of year coinciding with near the end of the regular season. But no matter where this kind of day finds you at this particular time, I just hope it was a great time. If you were able to be with family and friends and spend some of that time there with them, I hope it was a real cherished time, and I hope the food that you ate was great, and just the whole thing was a wonderful memory, because you all deserve that, every single one of you. Let me begin this way as far as what we're going to see on Saturday between Georgia and South Carolina. A lot of you know that I'm a professional wrestling fan, have been, you know, kind of growing up my life, and here's one thing I can tell you about pro wrestling. That sometimes the thing that's at stake in a wrestling match is a championship belt, right? You know, this guy is wrestling that guy, and they're wrestling for a championship belt. And sometimes, and let's face it, pro wrestling's all about the hype. It's all about selling the storyline, right? It's all about that. And sometimes the championship belt is enough. This guy's trying to take the championship belt off that guy, and that's all you need to know. Sometimes that's enough. However, pro wrestling's always better when there's something more than just a belt at stake, when there's an issue at stake. Think back to if you were a kid in the 80s, you know, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage sort of feuding over Elizabeth. This is more than just a championship belt. This is an issue between the two guys, as silly as it may seem to some of you now, looking back these years later. Hogan and Andre the Giant, some of that same kind of stuff. It's more than just a belt on the line. It's an issue between the two people. But ultimately, it's the issue between people that makes the event more interesting, not just the championship that's at stake. And I do think there's an obvious correlation between that and college football. We are, of course, all here in pursuit of a national championship. But for Georgia especially, it's that desire to get over the hump, to hoist up that big college football playoff trophy. Frankly, as ugly as it is, the playoff trophy's always been kind of ugly to me, but it sure would be pretty to see it in the hands of Kirby Smart and the Georgia players, and to see Georgia winning that championship. That is the name of the game. But sometimes the thing that makes college football interesting is not just the chase of a championship, but the issues between people, the backstory that people have with each other. And it is one of the reasons why I've always loved the SEC so much. I have, you know, never shied away from being what I, you know, affectionately would call myself, an SEC homer, someone who loves this league more than any other in college football. I've always liked college football. I enjoy watching Big Ten football and ACC football and whatever else, but I love the SEC. And I think the reason why I love the SEC so much, to go back to the notion of issues between people, I don't know there's any, certainly conference in college football, maybe any league in any sport anywhere, that's just better at giving you backstories in games than what the SEC seems to provide week in and week out, year after year after year. I think this Saturday's game against South Carolina is the perfect example of that. I mean, to the average person who only pays partial attention, it would almost seem like there's just nothing really going on with Georgia going to South Carolina. South Carolina has an interim head coach. Gamecocks have not been very good for a couple of years. Georgia's a very big favorite. It would just almost seem like this is the kind of game that could be easily overlooked. But when you start diving deeper into the storylines, when you start paying more attention to the people who will play and coach in the game, you see all these issues, all of this. I don't want to oversell it as rich drama, because frankly, Georgia is still expected to win by a comfortable margin. But there is a lot of history, the way that you just get in the SEC with neighboring state taking on neighboring state. I'll start with this. The fact that South Carolina's interim coach in this game is Mike Bobo, who all of you know very well as the offensive coordinator, formally speaking, of Georgia. Before that, a great quarterback at UGA, and throughout all of this process, a very good friend of Georgia coach Kirby Smart. Now, when Smart spoke about this week, he kind of downplayed what it means to coach against his good friend, but we all know that there is something to that. When you look across the sideline and you see someone who you've probably vacationed with, you certainly traveled with on recruiting, you know, things over the years, or kind of bumped into in the recruiting trail, and you spend time with during the offseason. Smart may downplay that, but we know that kind of makes this game a little different, a little more interesting for the people who are part of it. But nonetheless, this is what Smart said on that topic earlier this week.
It doesn't change a lot for me, because it's, you know, it's a game that we're trying to win based on the players on the field. It's not between Mike and I. I got a lot of respect for him. He's one of the best football coaches I know in terms of motivation, passion and energy for the game, recruiting, all those things. Got a lot of respect for him and the job he does and has done throughout his career. I mean, his record speaks for itself in our conference, what he's been able to do. And I know he'll have those guys ready to play. But as far as our history, I don't think that it really matters in this game.
What some people might say, though, is that while the history between Bobo and Kirby might not be all that significant for what happens in Columbia on Saturday night, there's another recent aspect of the history between Georgia and South Carolina that could matter quite a bit. Even though Will Muschamp's no longer South Carolina coach, and some of the players who played in last year's game on both sides are no longer there, this was a shocking result last season when South Carolina beat Georgia. Georgia was as big a favorite last year as they are in this game coming up this particular Saturday, but it didn't work out. The Gamecocks got the win in Athens. And listen, people who do what I do for a living, speaking to a microphone, kind of a media blowhard type, there's always going to be the desire to seek out that revenge narrative. Georgia, are you looking for revenge on Saturday? Are you looking to get a measure of retribution after what happened a season ago? For the most part, the Georgia players, when speaking to the reporters this week, didn't quite play into that, at least at the time we recorded the show prior to it airing on Friday. Most of the players haven't really quite played into that too much leading into that. John Fitzpatrick, the Georgia tight end, though, was at least willing to admit that, yeah, you do want to make sure you got your chin strap buckled just a little bit tighter, knowing that this team beat you last season. This is the Georgia tight end on that topic.
It's definitely motivation. You know, we came into that game last year. We didn't play like we wanted to. We laid an egg, and we didn't do what we wanted to, and we're just going to come out this year, focus on us, work hard this week at practice, and execute, play more physical, finish our blocks and stuff like that.
Of course, we all know that, listen, the motivation you have to succeed in the SEC in many cases is kind of an intrinsic thing. It's something that's on the inside for you. You just want to beat your best each and every Saturday. But we also know this, at least I think I'm willing to admit this, it's a long season, that if you can find a little extra edge here and there, it makes getting up for each and every game just a little bit easier to do. So even though some of the players that helped South Carolina beat Georgia a year ago aren't playing, and some of the players that on the Georgia side that had to suffer through that loss last season, they're also gone as well. Maybe just a little bit of extra motivation on Saturday. If nothing else, it's going to be a fun day to watch Georgia put its new look offense on the field once again. We'll see more from JT Daniels. We'll see more from this Georgia wide receiving core that really popped and exploded in a big way against Mississippi State last week. And we will see a lot of backstory on both sides between both these teams. It's the kind of issues between people that really seems like the SEC, not the only league that dials it up, but probably no league dials it up better. And I got to tell you, I am looking forward to Georgia and South Carolina coming up on Saturday. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is a Black Friday edition of Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger. Thanks to all of you for being with us here today. We really appreciate that. I know many of you probably not doing the Black Friday shopping maybe this year the way that you have in the past, but nonetheless, we're very thankful to have you being with us for a version of Dog Nation Daily, probably a little shorter, you know, not quite as long, not obviously live, as I've said before, but we'll be back to normal again for a Monday show. And of course, I'll be live in Columbia for Kroger kickoff and everything else heading into that. By the way, speaking of Kroger, Huge thanks to them for making our show possible here today. And don't forget, you can earn a holiday bonus at Kroger. When you spend $200 or more with your Kroger card through December 1st, you can receive up to 40% of savings. I just want to make sure you redeem that between December 10th and the 13th. It's apparel, it's housewares, it's toys, it's decor, it's so much more. Make sure you check that out. A big holiday bonus from our friends at Kroger, and we certainly appreciate them making Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger possible here today. We will have Terrence Edwards coming up on our program. Terrence normally joins us on Thursdays on the show. No show yesterday, though, because of Thanksgiving. Terrence also going to be coaching this weekend. We're going to miss him on the Dog Nation postgame show, but he'll give us some thoughts on the Bulldogs and the Gamecocks here coming up in just a minute. Before we do that, let's get ready to go around the doghouse here today, delivered by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And I kind of want to keep the theme going here a moment ago. I talked about the kind of backstory that you get, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, they're border rivals. I'll use that in air quotes. They are, you know, certainly programs that have fought over recruits in the past. And so there's always a little bit of that kind of, you know, in the air when these two teams play each other. And I thought it was kind of a nice classy touch this week for Georgia to allow Channing Tindall, very good linebacker, I believe, a guy that I'd love to see, you know, get his chance at Georgia. He is getting that when playing. He's really seemingly played pretty well for the Bulldogs, but he's going back home. This is a homecoming for Tindall, having been from Columbia, South Carolina. And so Channing got a chance to speak to reporters this week about just the feeling of being back in your hometown, the family ties he has to both schools. And if you really want to kind of encapsulate just what these SEC games are kind of like, where a guy like Tindall has, you know, some roots kind of running deep for him on both the Georgia side and the South Carolina side, including being back in his hometown of Columbia on Saturday. This, I believe, is a really cool quote from Georgia linebacker Channing Tindall. Take a listen to this.
That's always a good experience going back home. My father is a Dogs fan, and then my mother went to the University of South Carolina herself. Mm-hmm. And whatnot. So that rivalry has always been pretty big in my family and whatnot. But emotion, I went to little when I was a little child, going to little games, watching Ty Gurley play in the stadium against, you know, Marcus Lattimore, some of the greatest people out there and whatnot. So, like, it's very exciting for me and whatnot. But, you know, now that I get to play, it's just better feeling.
I had to go back and look at this. I didn't remember Tindall being from Columbia, South Carolina, did not play against the Gamecocks in 2018. And Channing actually played a really good bit in his freshman year, had two sacks for Georgia that season, had 17 total tackles. But while he did play in a number of SEC games relatively early in the season, did not play in that game at South Carolina. I had not remembered that. But he's obviously speaking about going back to Columbia right there, which is, I think, a pretty cool thing. And the other thing this kind of reminds me of is, and by the time many of you hear or see this show, you'll probably know more about this than we do now, is there's also kind of the thing that's not being said this week. For Tindall, this is a really big game because it's in his hometown. But for a lot of other Georgians, what's not taking place this week is that game against Georgia Tech that would normally be the signature game here on this Saturday after Thanksgiving. It's been that way for years and years, if not decades, but not taking place this year. On the Clemson side, it's, or I should say the South Carolina side, there isn't that game against Clemson taking place on that traditional rivalry Saturday there as well. This is as big as it gets for Tindall because it's back in his hometown. But for a lot of Georgians, they're not playing the in-state rival this week. For a lot of South Carolinians, not getting a chance to play Clemson. It's just a little bit different kind of feel this year, but it certainly seems like both these sides are doing their part to kind of make it feel like what it's supposed to feel like in terms of a big game in the SEC. I will be curious to see. There has not been a lot of talk on the Georgia side about not playing Georgia Tech. It doesn't seem like there's been a huge, I guess, consideration of that not taking place. I'm wondering how much of that we'll eventually hear from South Carolina about how weird it might be not to be playing Clemson here this week. But nonetheless, Dogs and Gamecocks getting ready to get together on Saturday. That is Around the Doghouse. It's delivered today by our friends at Marco's Pizza, America's most beloved pizza, real authentic pizza made the Italian way. And we love Marco's Pizza around here. Also, don't forget, we love the great savings you can get as well. You can get a large specialty pizza and a large two-topping pizza right now for just $23.99. You're heading towards game day weekend. Obviously, Marco's Pizza goes great with that. Please make sure you check them out online at marcos.com. They'll serve you up right. Good pizza at a great price. We love our friends at Marco's Pizza when it comes to all of that. All right. Before we're done today, we will preview some of the other big games around the SEC. We'll have more of a look ourselves at exactly what the Dogs might bring to the table on Saturday. But for now, a guy that was thoroughly entertained, like we all were, about what Georgia put on display offensively on Saturday night against Mississippi State. Looking forward to seeing more of what's going to happen this upcoming Saturday against South Carolina. Let's talk to the former Georgia wide receiver, Terrence Edwards. Great to have him and all of you with us on this day after Thanksgiving, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Terrence, I want to ask you about this before we get into the situation with George, if you don't mind. I was saying this before, you know, for Channing Tindall playing in his hometown of Columbia this week, that's a really big deal and a really fun thing to do. But for a lot of other folks, they're not getting the game that they're used to getting this time of year. It's not Georgia versus Georgia Tech on the Georgia side. It isn't Thanksgiving weekend, South Carolina versus Clemson, that traditional rivalry. Have you thought much, noticed the fact that these games that would normally be taking place, this is the weekend they would be occurring? And as someone like yourself who's actually working in the Atlanta area a lot, where a lot of folks would, you know, typically care about this game, how much talk have you heard about the fact that the Dogs and Jackets aren't playing this year, you know, maybe Clemson, South Carolina as well? How much chatter have you noticed about that this season?
Honestly, I haven't really noticed a lot, to be honest with you. I had a few talks with some people and came to the realization this is Thanksgiving weekend and we'd normally be playing Georgia Tech right now. But just overall, I haven't had and heard a lot of chatter of also about not playing that rivalry game. I would love that if we played that rivalry game. Just it's fun playing Georgia Tech during this week. I mean, you know, I have a cousin that played at Tech named Chris Edwards. So this weekend was always a fun weekend for my family personally. So it's going to be missed, but, you know, just the times we're living in right now.
No doubt about that. So we haven't heard from you since the Dog Nation postgame show on Saturday night after the debut of JT Daniels, the breakout performance in a huge way for Jermaine Burton, another big day for George Pickens as well. George was very good through the air against Mississippi State. You've had more time to think about it. How impressed were you with what the Dogs did with the passing game on Saturday, particularly the debut of JT Daniels?
I was impressed. I was impressed because from JT's standpoint, he hasn't played a real live game in a year and some change now. So he went out there, and I think he started off a little shaky, but I think he settled down and just became the football player that we all thought that he could be. I just, me personally, I was very excited, but I'm going to temper my expectations of him. I don't think myself or nor the Georgia fans should think that he's going to throw for 400 yards every game. I just want him to go out and lead his team to victory, however shape, form, fashion that may be, but in an efficient manner. And if it's throwing for 230 yards and my team wins, that feels just as good as him throwing for 400 yards and the team wins.
So one of the things that will be said to me a lot in a week like this, I'm going to see if I can kind of paraphrase what I hear from people. They'll say, you know, I knew Jermaine Burton was talented, and yet when I saw him catching passes from JT Daniels, he also just seemed very comfortable, maybe coming into his own because he's, you know, a little bit more experienced now, but also really, you know, getting passes from a guy that knows how to deliver the football to him. Did you see that? I know you know Jermaine well. Did you see that from him as well, that he, Pickens, Kyaris Jackson, even D-Rob, the fact that they seem to be just comfortable on the receiving end of those
all
throws?
All circuits are busy. Please try your call again later. Announcement 8, switch 4-1-3.
That is a Dog Nation Daily first. Who's that operator on? Is that on our side or is that Terrence, are you still with us? That is really something. Connor, why don't you hop on that microphone here? You can kind of fill in for Terrence Edwards here just for a couple of minutes. We can at least give people a little bit of a guest experience. Looks like the Terrence phone is going to kind of drop out on us here on some end. Sometimes the phones are not very cooperative. I would go through the drama of asking if you had a happy Thanksgiving. We can just sort of pretend that Thanksgiving's already occurred, but obviously we're pre-recording this. That's not quite the case, but hope you are doing well today.
Yeah, weird circumstances here with the phone, but it'll all work out. I am almost positive that I had a wonderful Thanksgiving filled with ham, mashed potatoes, stuffing, because we're not a Southern family. The whole fixins.
So I noticed you didn't say turkey. You don't like turkey?
I'll have turkey. I love the act of deep frying turkey, but if there's a ham or a turkey available, I'm going after the ham.
So I will tell you this real quick, and then I promise we'll talk some football. I used to not like really turkey all that much. Mm-hmm. As I get older, I like turkey more and more. And I mean like the white meat, mm-hmm. you know, sort of what some people would say is pretty boring turkey. I've actually kind of gotten to where I like that a lot more. I'll tell you what I love to do. This is the move. Is you get like three parts turkey white meat with like one part ham. So you get a little bit of the mm-hmm. fatty flavor of the ham mixed with the turkey. You know, one big old bite of that. That's pretty much the way mm-hmm. I like to kind of go down with that.
I will say for the Thanksgiving meal itself, I am more of a ham guy. But when you get that second either Thursday night sandwich or as we are hopefully doing right now while the show airs, preparing our leftover lunch the day after Thanksgiving, that's where I really like to go in on the turkey.
That is really very true. I was talking to Terrence before you joined us, and obviously had a little bit of a phone issue with him. And boy, that was a weird one. But nonetheless, you know, when you look at what Jermaine Burton did week one, I should say last week in the debut for JT Daniels, when you look at, you know, the way that George Pickens certainly seems so comfortable over there, you know, catching those passes from him. It is really easy to imagine a very, very just new energy in that wide receiver room for a group that's been talented. And individually, some of these guys have had their moments. You know, Kyrus Jackson had back-to-back 100-yard games even before the JT Daniels era began. Obviously, we know what George Pickens did as a freshman. But you certainly get the sense that there is a sky is the limit type, situation for them, you know, now that JT Daniels is the one that's going to looks like at least for the foreseeable future that's going to be delivering them passes.
Yeah, we wrote about it earlier this week. The talent is there with this Georgia wide receiver room. They've recruited well enough at this position. I think 650 top overall prospects at that position in the last three cycles, and that also doesn't include Demetrius Robertson, who was a former five-star. And we've talked and written in the past about how Georgia needs these guys, these crop wide receivers, to play well. That way they can continue to recruit well. And if Jermaine Burton keeps playing like he did on Saturday, where he had more yards in the first half than he did in his first six collegiate games, that bodes very well for the future of this Georgia position.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I also kind of mentioned this, that it just seems like there's a dog that's not barking this week when it comes to Georgia versus Georgia Tech. I don't really hear a lot of people saying, hey, where's this game? Isn't it a shame that Georgia's not playing Georgia Tech? I am curious. We are pre-recording the show, so I don't really know what South Carolina people are saying about the Clemson game. I wonder if you'll hear more of that from them. But it just seems kind of interesting to me that this is the date on the calendar where clean, old-fashioned hate typically takes place. And I'm not trying to make this into a narrative. I'm just saying I haven't noticed that many people all that upset that the game's not occurring.
Yeah, I asked a couple Georgia players, Justin Schaefer, John Fitzpatrick, about it, and neither of them really gave all that insightful answers. You know, John, being an Atlanta area kid, said it was a little weird not playing Tech this weekend, but they're obviously focused on South Carolina. I will say, as an Atlanta resident and as someone who grew up in the Atlanta suburbs, I do wish that they were playing Georgia Tech this weekend, just given the history of this quote-unquote rivalry and the fact that Clemson beat Georgia Tech by 73 points, and I know some people would throw out there, well, why would you want to see Georgia play a team like that? You know, what is there to be gained from that? And I would say, because I want to see Georgia beat Georgia Tech by 74 points.
I certainly like that sentiment. I can certainly appreciate that. One of the things that I do think would be kind of interesting on the South Carolina side is the fact that they are hosting Georgia on so-called rivalry weekend. Mm-hmm. It kind of brings to mind something that gets talked about a lot, that I think a lot of South Carolina fans would probably say that Georgia is their second biggest rival. I can't think of another school they might say they have more of a hatred for than Georgia. And obviously, it kind of also brings to mind the fact that Georgia has so many rivals that I don't even know that most Georgia fans would say Gamecocks even rank as a rivalry for the UGA side of this. But I do kind of wonder whether it's on game day in Columbia or whatever else, if you hear from the South Carolina side of, hey, we're not playing Clemson this week. Maybe they're glad they're not playing Clemson this week, but at least we get to play our second biggest rival on Rivalry Saturday. I wonder if we hear some of that from the South Carolina
side. Yeah, I think of the Georgia-South Carolina rivalry. You know the scene in Mad Men where Don gets out of a meeting, he's on an elevator with a guy, and the guy says to him, I feel so bad for you. And Don looks at him and says, I don't even think about you. That is exactly how the Georgia-South Carolina rivalry sort of is. South Carolina, it is a big deal for them. You saw that last year when they actually beat Georgia in Sanford Stadium. Whereas I think from the Georgia side, the Florida game obviously means more. I think Alabama means more, even though they obviously don't play every year. I think the Tennessee game is a little bit more interesting, just given how they recruited Atlanta in right now, the Kirby Smart, Jeremy Pruitt dynamic, and then you have Tech as well to mention in there. So I think there's a lot of other rivalries. Auburn, I just missed that one off the top there. I think there's a lot of other rivalries that don't make this as much, which is maybe why this is sort of interesting. It's another game. It's not so much beating South Carolina as it is, hey, let's go see this offense put up some points again.
So before we kind of wrap this up, just give me some of your thoughts, what you expect to see on Saturday. Is this a very easy Georgia win? Is this another game in which, you know, issues from this past Saturday, lack of running game, another examples of some problems on defense? Do you think those get accentuated by what happens on Saturday? Do you have any kind of early feel on what the game's going to look like between Georgia and the Gamecocks?
I'm actually willing to admit I have no idea what's going to happen, because I thought I had a pretty good idea of what we'd see against Mississippi State, where JT Daniels didn't turn the ball over. He looked efficient. I thought the Georgia defense would play pretty well, figure out the Mississippi State offense, and Georgia would run the ball and sort of cruise to an easy victory without really ever taking Daniels out of first or second gear. And the almost exact opposite of that happened, where Georgia couldn't run the ball. They struggled to really stop Mississippi State, especially on early downs. And JT Daniels flat out won them the game. So I think the thing I'm most looking forward to, I guess, one is getting the running game back on track, making it more look like what we had seen earlier in this season. And then Daniels doesn't need to throw for 400 yards, but if he's still connecting on those big plays, taking advantage of one-on-one situations on the outside with Jermaine Burton, George Pickens, Kyaris Jackson, I think that's going to say a lot about the direction of this Georgia offense in the future.
So you brought up something that I don't think has gotten enough attention this week, which is that Daniels doing what he did on Saturday was not an exhibition. You know what I'm saying? This was not just an exhibition of his talents. When he throws the touchdown to Kyaris Jackson, that game is tied at that point in time. Georgia has to score again to win. Not only was Daniels making big throws, but he's making big throws in a pressure situation where if he throws one fewer touchdown in this game, there's a really good chance that Georgia has one of the most humiliating defeats that it's ever had, certainly under Kirby Smart. So this is Daniels not just showing off his skill set, but really doing so in a little bit of a kind of a clutch type situation.
Right. None of his touchdowns were gimmies. The one to George Pickens to start Georgia's first scoring drive, that was just an incredible throw and timing right there by Daniels and Pickens. You have the two to Jermaine Burton, which were both long touchdowns, and then the 40-yarder to Kyaris Jackson. They were legitimate throws that Georgia needed to win that game. So I know everyone's very excited about what Daniels did, but it's also worth looking at it from a different point of view of Georgia really needed Daniels in that game, and it's maybe a little concerning about where the state of this team is, because, again, Richard Incount's not going to play on Saturday, and I think his absence on the defense has said a whole lot about just how important, how good he is. Georgia needed Daniels on Saturday, this past Saturday against Mississippi State. You hope that Georgia doesn't need Daniels to play all that well again to win against South Carolina.
Yeah, so I guess I'm kind of curious, and maybe this is like the Larry Munson in me, you know, kind of, you know, just maybe I'm just trying not to get too ahead of myself in all of this. I just sort of wonder how possible it is for the Georgia offense with the big passing and everything like that. Is it going to really replicate itself against South Carolina now that there's a way of looking at this with no Israel Mukwamu, with no J.C. Horn? Well, this is definitely the team that you throw against. But we also saw Mississippi State last week, who had no business hanging around with Georgia with, you know, fewer than 50 players in the game. You know, they found a way to kind of do some things. The college football has a way of surprising you on that. I mean, do you think that Georgia proved last Saturday that it's ready to kind of take that passing game with it wherever it travels, including Columbia, this particular weekend?
It's fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So I want to see what Georgia and Daniels does, because if they do back it up, they do go on the road in an SEC stadium in an SEC environment at night, where it'll be loud there in South Carolina. They'll have fans there. It'll be a raucous environment, as it usually is. They'll find a way to make Sandstorm play and have it playing there. And that.
By the way, we just came up on the Sandstorm anniversary, I believe.
Oh, my God.
I think Sandstorm's like 20 years old or something like
you'll
that.
You'll hear that chicken cackle-acking. It'll be a tough environment for Daniels to walk into, and I'm excited and optimistic.
But it's all artificial. There's no fans there. I mean, this is all artificial noise, right? It's all roosters crowing and Sandstorm playing and, you know, pumped in crowd noise. I mean, I wonder how many South Carolina fans even come to the game at all.
Yeah, it's late Saturday night, Thanksgiving weekend. People are probably with their families. I don't imagine, you know, you want to go see South Carolina lose by 3 touchdowns, which is what Vegas has it as. So it'll be an artificial environment, but it's still an SEC game. It's a chance for Daniels to show that last week wasn't a fluke and that, hey, this is a guy who can be the answer for Georgia both this year and hopefully in 2021.
Well, Connor, listen, I appreciate you stepping in. Obviously, we love having Terrence on the show. We had a little bit of a phone issue, so we'll catch up with him again sometime soon. But it's good to get a chance to talk to you, and we'll look forward to reading you here over the course of the weekend after the Dogs and the Gamecocks there at DogNation.com.
As always, it was a pleasure, and hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, normally on Fridays where we'd have an On the Road with Jeff Sintel presented by our friends at AAA, I do want to say once again thanks to AAA for always being a part of the program and remind you, you know, you just spend a lot of time on Thanksgiving with your family. It's a reminder of you that if you've got a family to take care of, one of the best ways you can do that is making sure you've got life insurance. And when you think about life insurance, you may think about a lot of things. Maybe AAA is not one of those things that comes to mind for you right away, but that should change because AAA has got tremendous life insurance options for you. If you're watching on video, you see the ways in which you can get in touch, whether it's give them a call, 866-695-0222. I'll read the number again, 866-695-0222, or the website, AAA.com/life. That's AAA.com/life. And you can also just stop by and see them at one of their AAA offices. Really find out all the ways in which AAA can step up and serve you when it comes to life insurance. That's a really good thing to think about. Of course, we do our SEC through here. It's a busy weekend in the SEC. Rescheduled game, obviously, between Missouri and Vanderbilt. This caused the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game to be postponed for now, opening the door for Georgia and Missouri to also be on a different date also. So that's kind of out there. But the other games that we knew were going to take place, or at least have been scheduled before this upcoming week, I think are a lot of fun. Really, I'm trying to sell this Kentucky-Florida game as kind of an interesting game. There are a lot of people who think Mark Stoops is a great coach. Now, if you're a great coach, you can't just be getting blasted week in and week out. And last week they lost 63-3. So you'd like to think there's a little bit of passion on the line for Kentucky going to Florida on Saturday. But there's also the challenge of consecutive weeks being on the road in two of the toughest, you know, venues against two of the toughest teams this league currently has to offer. After at Alabama last week, at Kentucky this week, that's a pretty tough spot there. For Florida a week ago, and I don't want to overstate this because it doesn't really matter, they still won the game easily, but there was a little bit of a closer than it was supposed to be vibe against Vanderbilt for a while. Vanderbilt's actually covered three straight against the spread, by the way, which is kind of interesting. But, you know, maybe Florida comes back home in a bad mood. A lot of folks have a lot of memories of the very dramatic game in 2018 with Cash Daniel and the clashing of the Stone Cold Steve Austin type celebration when Kentucky beat Florida for the first time in like 30 years. There's a little bit of, I think, intrigue for me around how badly Florida can beat Kentucky on Saturday, and does Kentucky have any life left in them at all? Of course, Iron Bowl is going to be a lot of fun. You know, the story here for the most part has been Auburn's success comes in Jordan-Hare Stadium. That was true a year ago. That was true in 2017. That was true in 2013. That when there is good news for Auburn in the Iron Bowl, it typically comes when it's there at Jordan-Hare Stadium. For the most part, that's Auburn's story with everything. They play well at home. They have not really played away from home very well against a number of their most important opponents. Haven't beaten LSU on the road since 2019. Haven't beaten Georgia and Athens. I think it's true since 2005. I think they haven't beaten Georgia and Athens. So they've got long stretch of games and not winning on the road. So there have been a tough spot against Alabama in Bryant-Denny on Saturday. Frankly, I just think Alabama's the best team in the country right now. We said this on Monday that they have really, I think from a perception standpoint, extended the gap between themselves and the rest of the SEC. When you saw how easily they handled Kentucky last week, that's the kind of thing that a lot of SEC teams would have trouble doing against air. And Alabama did it to a team in Kentucky that's won some games. It's actually shown some life against some opponents. I thought it was a very big statement a week ago. My guess is they make another statement against Auburn this week, especially given the fact that Auburn pulled that upset against Alabama last season. Egg Bowl, I think, is a lot of fun. I like the game to be on Thanksgiving night. I'll take it on Saturday. I think one of the stories here, and a lot of you know, and I still get tweets from you from time to time about this, the fact that I'm just not a big believer in Mike Leach at Mississippi State. I think there's a persona and a demeanor that the SEC coach is supposed to have. There are certain things that SEC coaches are supposed to view as important. I'm not quite so sure that Leach sees those things that way. rivalry games being one of them. When Leach was at Pullman coaching at Washington State, continually downplayed that rivalry with the Washington Huskies. Washington had a lot of success there. Leach, for the most part, shrugged that off. At Texas Tech, Texas Tech doesn't have any real rivalries with those Texas schools the way that others do. He didn't get the experience doing that kind of stuff. He's just not had a lot of experience both in playing rivalry games and in winning rivalry games, a game that folks care about. And up there in the Pacific Northwest, the Apple Cup is one of those. I think he's going to have a hard time in the Egg Bowl. I really do. Texas A&M hosts LSU. Speaking of rivalries, this one's kind of become a rivalry a bit right now. A lot of bad blood over the course of the last couple of years. It's also Texas A&M's first game playing in really a long time. They've had a long layoff, and they want to show that they're one of the top teams in the country. I think Texas A&M and LSU, I think it could be a pretty fun game. Of course, there's some Black Friday games to be aware of as well. For those of you watching this show live on Friday, as we're done, you'll get ready to see Iowa State and Texas. That's a pretty fun game. I think that North Carolina and Notre Dame has a chance to be fun. Also late on Friday night, or a little later on in the evening, get a chance to see Oregon and its Civil War matchup against Oregon State. So you've got some fun in these pretty big slate of games the day after Thanksgiving. You typically have some of that, and you've certainly got some of that going on right now, which is always a really great thing to be able to see. Let me also say to you that as you get ready to enjoy some football here this weekend, nothing goes better with that than our friends at Classic City Lager. You know, it's a taste of Athens that you can get wherever you are, 6 or 12-pack cans, whichever retailer you like to frequent. Classic City Lager will be well-stocked there from Creature Comforts Brewing Company. You can enjoy that. It's a lager-style beer, which means it's a lighter beer, but there's no sacrifice in flavor. This is really good stuff. In fact, it's just good cold beer. It's a Classic City Lager from Creature Comforts Brewing Company. Make sure you check that out today. And, of course, we get ready to wrap up here on a Thanksgiving with Connor doing double duty, playing the video for Classic City Lager, playing the fight song for the wrap-up. You know, I want to take a moment to say to all of you how much I appreciate your support of what we do here on our program, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. It is such a great thrill to be able to talk to you about Georgia football in good times and bad, after big wins, after bad losses. I think the experience for me to be able to come in here and share those thoughts with you, have you share those thoughts back with me, whether you reach out via social media at Dog Nation Daily on Twitter or one of our comment sections, whatever it is. Just the experience for me of being a Georgia fan is made so much better by the moments that we all get a chance to share together. And yes, I know that this year has been different. Some of those get-togethers we'd normally have, we're not able to have those. But for those of you that have still made sure that you've connected with us via the technology here, I really appreciate that. To all of you, happy Thanksgiving. I'll see you back here on Monday for Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.